Hello, this is the BBC News with Fiona MacDonald. President Biden has urged Congress to act now to ban assault weapons following Monday's deadly school shooting in the US city of Nashville. Speaking in North Carolina, Mr. Biden characterised the powerful semi-automatic guns as weapons of war. But as Nomia Iqbal explains from Nashville, gun ownership is a controversial issue there.
As they piece together exactly what the motive was, the talk has of course turned to the politics of guns in America and who has the right to access them. Here in Tennessee, when you bring up that issue, people say to me, we don't do politics, we do prayers. This is a deeply conservative state. And when you talk about these renewed calls for a ban or a restriction on assault rifles, people don't want to hear it. They would rather focus on the way in which police reacted quickly to the incident.
The French Parliament has overwhelmingly voted to recognise the starvation of millions of Ukrainians in the 1930s as a genocide perpetrated by the former Soviet leader Joseph Stalin. The Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, called it an historic decision. Kat Wiener reports.
Up to 4 million Ukrainians are believed to have starved to death during the Great Famine, or Holodomor, of 1932 to 1933. The government in Kyiv has long regarded it as a man-made atrocity caused by Stalin's policy of collectivization, in which grain was seized and peasants were forced off their land. The current Russian invasion has reignited Ukraine's call for the famine to be recognized as a war crime. Russia has long argued that the Holodomor must be considered in the broader context of famines that occurred across Central Asia and Russia during that period.
The United States has imposed export sanctions on Nicaragua's national police for its alleged involvement in serious human rights violations. Under the new restrictions, American companies willing to sell weapons and ammunition to the Central American nation will have to apply for new permits, which are unlikely to be issued. The International Olympic Committee has recommended that athletes from Russia and Belarus be allowed to return to international competition, lifting a ban imposed in the wake of the invasion of Ukraine. The IOC president said they should only be permitted to take part as individual, neutral competitors. But he said those connected to the military or who actively supported the war should continue to be banned. Stanislav Pozniakov is the head of the Russian Olympic Committee.
Dear colleagues, we regard today's decision of the Executive Committee of the International Olympic Committee as an acknowledgement of their own mistake. The recommendations of the committee, which have been in force for more than a year, are now dropped, but the parameters and criteria announced for the return of Russians to international competitions are absolutely unacceptable.
That was Stanislav Pozniakov, the head of the Russian Olympic Committee. BBC News. An appeals court in the US state of Maryland has reinstated the murder conviction of a man who was freed from prison after the hit podcast Serial raised doubts about his guilt. Adnan Syed had served more than 20 years for killing his ex-girlfriend in 1999. The appeals court ruled the hearing, which quashed Syed's conviction, should have taken testimony from the victim's brother. Hundreds of thousands of protesters in France have been staging another day of strikes and rallies against the government's decision to raise the average retirement age to 64. After a peaceful march in central Paris, far-left demonstrators clashed with riot police who fired tear gas. The Israeli parliament has passed a bill which will allow hospitals to enforce the Jewish religious custom of not eating leavened bread, or hametz, during the 7 days of Passover that begins next week. However, the hametz law requires hospitals to take into consideration the individual rights and needs of patients. The left-of-centre British newspaper The Guardian has apologised for its founder's role in transatlantic slavery 2 centuries ago. The paper had commissioned a study into its history by independent academics. The historian and Guardian columnist Professor David Olushoga told the BBC what the research found.
The Guardian was founded by John Edward Taylor, and he had 11 backers, men who loaned him money to help him found what was then the Manchester Guardian. 9 of those men had connections to slavery in that they were cotton merchants, and they were purchasing raw cotton that was produced by enslaved people. And one of them was himself an enslaver. He owned a plantation and he owned enslaved people. So his link is far more direct, but all of them are complicit in making their fortunes, money that they then loan to help found The Guardian, through the exploitation of enslaved people.
BBC News.